You are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster film in the last decade, then chances are that it's been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. In Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, investigative reporter Tiffany Meyer reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
Are you ready for this morning's opening metaphor? Takes a minute. Bear with me. I was thinking about it this morning. We're so happy to be here and unmasked, all we with unveiled faces, right? And the Delta variant and all that stuff, and worrying a little bit about whether we're going to be able to keep this freedom to meet together this week. And we're here together and able to be together because of a vaccine.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
And if you look at the bulletin verse, you see the metaphor for the vaccine. We have a much better solution that allows us to be together, and that is the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. So as you look to your right and to your left and you see the person sitting next to you, we hope that that person is vaccinated. But we also hope that they have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them as we have hope that the Holy Spirit dwells in us. And by that Spirit, His love is perfected with us so that we have confidence in the day of judgment to draw nigh. And that's what we've come to do.
Comparing the Holy Spirit to the vaccine. Pastor Wayne Koch in Maryland, comparing the COVID vaccine to the Holy Spirit. I would say that's the worst metaphor I've ever heard.
As you look to your right and your left, you see the person sitting next to you. We hope that person's vaccinated, but we also hope they have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them as we have the hope. What a
false teacher. What a false teacher. He said the vaccine's a reason his church is able to come together and meet in the house of the Lord. Pastor Wayne, churches have been meeting together for the past year. Let me introduce you to Pastor Lorenz. Anthony Flores, Pastor Anthony Flores. I always get Lorenzo Rios and Anthony Flores. I get those two. Pastor Flores, Adventure Church, they've been meeting for a year. People have been meeting all over the country. People have been meeting all over the world. There wasn't even a hint of a vaccine coming out. But at his church, I guess it wasn't possible to meet without the vaccine. He said the Holy Spirit is much better. Good. I'll be fair. He did say that. But to even compare it. The Well Church in Fresno, they canceled a youth event due to a San Francisco TV report of three kids from the Bay Area being contact traced, is the best that I can figure out right now. I did call Pastor Bell at the Well Church's office for comment after reading the pastor say, and I'll quote, "I'm not aware of any number of anyone impacted in a negative way, but in an abundance of caution, we canceled and are praying for a healthy return to normalcy for all involved." The church canceled the youth events at a mountain summer camp that they were up in up at Hume Lake, Eastern Fresno County, due to COVID cases. Well, let me make a couple points about his comment right there. And Pastor Bell, there's a lot of people that have made the decision that you are. You're in a long line of a bunch of people. But point one, if you aren't aware of anybody that was affected negatively, what are you praying for? Second point, stop praying for a return to normalcy and use your God-given gift of common sense and act normal. When I get to this point, I just got to go to Congressman Tom McClintock.
The only genuine relief from the COVID lockdowns is to end the COVID lockdowns. Why is it so hard for some people to understand that?
I don't know. And I wanted to get the side of the church, so I called twice to try and get their side of the story, because a lot of times I'm not going to believe the Fresno Bee and a receptionist, administrative assistant, I guess we got to say now. But They told me they're not talking to the media. Well, church told me they're not talking to the media, but let me quote Pastor Bell speaking to the Fresno Bee. You know, the same Fresno Bee that supports attacking Adventure Church, duly noted. Why? Because with the Fresno Bee, there'd be no pushback. See, I would ask questions. Other people would ask questions and hope for an educated answer of why the lead pastor of the church told the Bee that more than 450 people from the church, a combination of students in 6th through 12th grades, along with adult leaders, attended a week-long summer camp at Hume Lake. About 25 to 30 of the campers were contacted, sent home for various reasons latter part of the week. That included individuals who showed symptoms or tested positive for the virus. It also included people who indicated through contact tracing they were in proximity to someone who had symptoms or tested positive. Quote here said, many of our students who were sent home were neither positive nor symptomatic, but rather, in an abundance of caution, we're caught up in the contact tracing process, and we sent them home to ensure the safety of the rest of the camp. So the students that were sent home were neither positive nor symptomatic, but in an abundance of caution, you run their summer. Survival rate, 99.9998. A TV station in San Francisco, contract traced 3 kids. Yeah, that's what I'm reading in the Fresno Bee here. San Francisco television station reported that at least 3 Bay Area children who were there at Hume Lake tested positive for the virus were sent home early to minimize exposure to other campers. And it goes on to say the camp representative said, we had no information on the number of campers affected last week, either symptomatic, had positive tests, or were exposed to others who were infected. Nobody has any idea. See, everybody that's the person that you talk to get the answer says, I have no idea. Pastor Bell, the one that sent some of the kids home, said, I'm not aware of any number of anybody impacted in a negative way, but in abundance of caution. Oh, and of course, I got to throw in officials from Fresno County Department of Health who, quote, ready, stopped short of calling this an outbreak last week. Pastor Bell said, Department of Public Health stopped short of calling an outbreak last week was being felt at the well. I'm not aware of the number of students or adult leaders from the well that were impacted in any negative way, but in an abundance of caution. So they have no idea. Well, that's right along with everything that we've been dealing with, correct? It's actually, you know what this is? Sending kids home from camp that aren't sick, who don't have any symptoms, that's abuse, man. And the abuse is the fear-mongering to kids. Instilling fear that doesn't need to be there based on stats and data. Well, you want to say, Pastor Bell at the well, that you're not aware of anything, you don't have anything that shows anybody was affected negatively? Well, guess what? We do have some data of people being affected negatively. You say you don't have the data? Then why'd you decide in an abundance of caution? You decide to run summer camp. That's not cool. It's a psychological operation. If you want to believe me, believe Dr. Kaufman from MIT.
Described as a psychological operation, and I'm talking about the pandemic, that they accelerated things, and probably because of there have been a lot of people waking up to the truth in the past years. And I think that, you know, the elites running the show, putting on this operation, started to get worried that they might not have an opportunity if they waited for everything to line up according to their ultimate plans. And so they've been making mistakes and doing things in a sloppy way.
Thing about this is just a continuation of the fear. Masking up a population is the continuation of the man-made lockdown, as we've seen. And we already know that doctors, that guy was from MIT, scientist. Here's Dr. Kempen. He's an MD, leads the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. You think those kids that they sent home from the camp are thinking, well, maybe I can hurry up and get the vaccine so that I can be normal again. Here's what Dr. Kempen of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons Johnson said, quote, as we move toward full FDA approval, all healthcare workers should get vaccinated for their own health and to protect their colleagues, families, residents of long-term care facilities, and patients. He pointed out, as of mid-July, 30 million people have recovered from COVID in the U.S. and have natural immunity. Vaccination of these persons confers only risk with little to no benefit, yet these mandates do not exempt them. He said serious side effects have been identified, including paralysis, inflammation of the heart muscle, which may not resolve and may cause death. He noted as variants multiply, booster shots may be required with increasing risk of allergic phenomena. Now, he lists all that, but he actually stated up there that he feels like, well, I guess we should put healthcare workers and their families and anybody in a long-term care, we should put them to those risks, I guess. He warned long-term effects of these genetically engineered products cannot possibly be known at this point. Parents, listen to this. As the pressure's going to be on, well, I want my kids to go to camp, so I better vaccinate them, right? The pastor said these could include autoimmune disorders, says a doctor, antibody-enhanced disease, says a doctor, infertility, a doctor. A doctor says it could cause cancer or birth defects. The statement continued, the benefit to the public in this instance is purely hypothetical. Uninfected persons cannot transmit infection just because they are unvaccinated. Vaccinated persons can still infect others. Many medical workers already have natural immunity, and mandated shots impose risk without little or no benefit. Yes, sir. Yet there's no provision to exempt them. He said a better course would include early treatment options. He said their association pointed that all people have a right to liberty, which they do not forfeit when they serve the sick or the disabled. He pointed out the long-term impacts of the genetically engineered products cannot possibly be known at this point. Again, not me. It's a doctor with the American Association of Physicians and serve and He said negative results could include, it said, autoimmune disorders, antibody-enhanced disease, infertility, cancer, and birth defects. So you really want to start your 12-year-old's life off with that weight hanging around their neck? Or would it make more sense to maybe, I'm not going to say that maybe you would never consider it, but wait and see. My word, the survival rate for the kids is 99.99998. Anything else we wouldn't worry about. A survival rate of that. You know we wouldn't. You know we wouldn't. Are they going to come and force you?
If you're the person there who's, you know, afraid of a totalitarian state and the Gestapo knocking on your door to hold you down and give you a vaccine, you know, those things are, of course, possible. But the way to prevent that is for each individual to simply make a decision for themselves that they won't participate in any aspect of what's going on. And the more people that do that, then the less likely there's going to be any progression.
Just 14 more years to flatten the curve, everybody, and we'll be back to normal. You're all doing a great job.
The government loves you. They're never going to lie to you about anything. Just keep wearing those masks, and everything will be great. You're all doing a great job. Thanks for cooperating. No need to question the narrative. Just trust your government. Trust the media. Do what you're told. There's no need to question anything that we're being told. Vaccines are extremely good for your health. There's no need to question vaccines. There's no need to worry why the government wants to inject you with heavy metals.
Alex Tablian, San Joaquin Valley Sun. We're talking recall, bottom of the hour.
People aren't regulated.
The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. You're listening to the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
$100 to make you holler. Joe Biden calls for $100 for people to get the COVID vaccine. Ouch. Holler. He's calling on state, territorial, and local governments to give $100 payments to newly vaccinated Americans to boost vaccination rates. There's a family of five that just heard that was hesitant. Now, boy, they ran right out the door, didn't they? They're out the door. They're going to be watching their new big screen with surround sound. They're ready to roll. Joe Biden, I wonder, you know what? Hold out. It might be 1,000 next week. Hold out. See how high will it actually go, huh?
With freedom comes responsibility. Your decision to be unvaccinated impacts someone else.
Pay me.
Unvaccinated people spread the virus.
Pay me more.
They get sick and fill up our hospitals.
Let me come out the pocket, Joe. How much you got? Come on, Joe. Come on.
The rule is very simple. Get vaccinated or wear a mask until you do.
I'm glad we didn't get rid of this last spring and now into the summer, because we're going to need this again, aren't we?
We're about to go into a dark winter. A dark winter.
Kamala Harris warned us all that if we didn't get vaccinated, that we would face continued mask mandates. Now, those of you that, and you got your God-given right to go get it, and if you do, you're not going to hear a peep from me, not even a facial expression, like an eyebrow up, like, really? No, you have the right. You make your own medical decisions in America. Kamala said, no one likes wearing masks. People need to get vaccinated. That's the only way we're going to cut this off. Nobody likes wearing a mask. So, oopsie doopsie, should we talk mask? Should we? Let's talk about masks for a minute. Now, if I ask any Prius potluck person on the weekend at their Prius potluck, who should we listen for advice for COVID-19, for the Delta variant? Who should we listen to advice for masks from, huh? They probably say Dr. Fauci. So, please, children at home, get out your notepad, get out your, or your pad. It can be a computer pad these days. At the end of this, try and follow it and tell me what you think the correct advice is with masks. Huh?
People should not be walking around with masks. Let me just state for the record that masks are not theater. Wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better. And masks are protective. But it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is.
There has not been any indication that putting a mask on and wearing a mask for a considerable period of time has any deleterious effects.
There are unintended consequences. People keep fiddling with the mask and they keep touching their face.
And can you get some schmutz sort of staying inside there?
Of course.
You do not need to wear a mask indoors if, in fact, you've been vaccinated. Good that you're vaccinated, but in a situation where you have people indoors, particularly crowded, you should wear a mask.
So even if you are vaccinated, you should wear a mask.
If, in fact, you are vaccinated, fully vaccinated, you are protected, and you do not need to wear a mask outdoors or indoors.
Anybody confused yet? Have you followed? Do we wear one or do we not wear one? Fauci, please, just would you say one thing and stick with it, huh?
When the children go out into the community,
okay, kids,
you want them to continue to wear masks.
You know, if you look at children outside, particularly when they're with the family, walking down the street, playing a game or what have you, don't have to wear a mask.
The Academy of Pediatric actually makes that recommendation that children should be wearing masks from 2 years old onward.
And you're asking now, if your child is a member of your household, can you walk outdoors with your child without a mask? According to that chart, the answer is yes.
Yes, you can. Okay, good. Okay.
But the child can't, not to beat it to death. Yeah.
Yes.
Because now the CDC says, I mean, I think I've got this right. One mask is better than zero masks. Two masks is better than one mask. But you don't have to have double masks. Is that right? I mean,
you know, it became clear that cloth coverings that you didn't have to buy in a store, that you could make yourself, were adequate. And then you want it to fit better. So one of the ways you could do it, if you would like to, is put a cloth mask over, which actually here and here and here, where you could get leakage in, is much better contained.
Okay. Are you a double masker, Dr. Fauci? Look like you are.
Okay, put two masks, put a mask over here.
No, you don't need to have. No, you do have to. No, you don't. Yeah, you do. No, you don't. What do we say?
And I think it's very important that we say unequivocally no to lockdowns, no to school closures, no to restrictions, and no mandates. Floridians are free to choose, and all Americans should be free to choose how they govern their affairs, how they take care of themselves and our families, and they should not be consigned to live, regardless of which state in the union, consigned to live in a Faucian dystopia in which we're governed by the whims of bureaucratic authorities who care little for our freedom, little for our aspirations, and little for our happiness. No more. We can't let it happen going forward.
I value and respect all of you.
Yeah. Might have to get over my fear of alligators. Alex Tavlian, San Joaquin Valley Sun. He's next.
This
is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Hollywood is under siege, covertly compromised by a global adversary. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream to the world is now making nightmares a reality. The American way of life is being censored by the Chinese Communist Party. Some films have scenes completely altered. Other films have lost their funding or been canceled altogether. Some actors have been banned from China for supporting human rights. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in exposing how the film industry gradually lost its integrity on its path to profits. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes, available for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
He's the executive director of the San Joaquin Valley Sun, Alex Tavlian. Good to see you, sir.
Always good to be here.
And for those just new listeners to the show, we got a lot up in the North Valley now with the show going up to Modesto area up there. Tell everybody, and there's new people in Fresno because are fleeing L.A. and San Francisco to
come to
our affordable, higher-priced houses than we were used to, it's affordable to a lot of people.
Yeah.
What is the Sun?
Yeah, the Sun is a fairly new, but you know we're getting older now.
2 years?
2 years, yeah. We've been around for 2 years now. A 2-year-old publication, a digital publication. We now have an iPhone app. So if you've got an iPhone, feel free to download our app. And we cover local politics, local news, business, sports. From Modesto to Bakersfield, we cover the 99. Every once in a while, we'll get up a little towards Stockton, but we try to keep it tight in that area because there's a lot of real estate to deal with there to begin with.
Well, congrats on year two, because most businesses don't last 1 year.
Yeah.
And it's amazing that you lasted that long with no big news out there these days, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
not a lot to talk about.
You know what? We're in a drought of more than one kind, Trevor.
Before we do get to some things that we're going to talk about, let's talk about the drought real quick.
Yeah.
Which of the candidates do you think has a real good grasp that are in this recall? Because they, you know, even Newsom rolled through after he was governor and acted like he knew what was going on with water. You don't really know until
they start talking. So I had a conversation yesterday for background for folks. Kevin Faulkner, former mayor of San Diego, was in Fresno yesterday and promoting his brand new drought response plan. It's a 6-point plan. I would argue of the candidates that have put out a plan, which is a very short list. And that includes, I would include Governor Newsom because he's got a plan, you know, whether you like it or not, and to quote him directly. Having gone through it, I would say for most Valley residents, this is the pretty much what everyone has on their wish list. You know, greater storage, you know, commitment to build and expand storage facilities. So not just, you know, not just raise Shasta Dam, but build new smaller dams to collect water. Restrict the amount of flows out to the ocean from the Delta and push them further south. A lot of people don't realize the state is pretty restrictive on water, especially under Governor Newsom. A governor that's not as restrictive is going to be able to allow that flexibility from regulators and the DWR and State Water Resource Control Board to push water south through the State Water Project, which that'll affect communities on the west side. Not necessarily, you know, Firebar, Mendota, but further south like Corcoran in Kings County, Bakersfield, and then all the way into L.A. The State Water Project goes all the way to L.A. and to San Diego. So there's a lot of real estate that's touched by the State Water Project, you know, the Pat Brown Aqueduct that we don't talk about a lot, but it's very important. And so his plan kind of touches on that. The other candidates are just sort of vaguely saying we need to do something. None of the Republicans currently have a plan. I know in conversation with some folks locally, I know Larry Elder, he's set to come to the Valley soon. We haven't gotten an exact date, But he's said to have a roundtable to discuss water, but he doesn't have a proposal yet.
Man, that's key in the Valley, so we got to stay on top of everybody as we do these real quick town halls, aren't they? We're on the clock, aren't we? We got September 14th is going to be here.
It's before you know it.
73 days, if I remember, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
Well, we got some fireworks going on here. San Joaquin Valley Sun writing about it. I shall read the first sentence. Fresno City Councilman Gary Bredefeld took to Facebook to voice his discontent with Mayor Jerry Dyer welcoming Newsom to town. What is the controversy of a mayor welcoming a governor to town?
Well, it's not so much just welcoming him to town.
I know why, but go ahead.
It's not so much welcoming Governor Newsom to town. For folks at home, Governor Newsom was in town to sign a bill, AB 133, which was going to extend Medi-Cal eligibility. It does extend Medi-Cal eligibility to illegal immigrants who are over the age of, I think, 50 years old. That's really the reason that, I think Councilman Bredefeld is really upset, is that, this is a very progressive policy when it comes to Medi-Cal, which is already a pretty liberal program in terms of its eligibility to start with, thanks to Obamacare. And then you've got the mayor of Fresno going out and making very flattering statements about the bill that was being signed with Governor Newsom there in the middle of a recall where, if you're a Republican, knives are out for this guy. We've got polling that's showing that, 90%+ of likely voting Republicans, they want him gone, and they've basically got at least an idea of who they want to vote for to replace him. Really, what we saw on Tuesday and into Wednesday was, Councilman Bredefeld really just questioning, Mayor Dyer's, Republican bona fides. He wants to know, are you really a Republican? And he basically lays it out there. And this is not the first time that it's been raised. This came up a while ago. You remember, Trevor, with the controversy over the LGBT pride flag, and that, Councilman Bredefeld really took Mayor Dyer to task on the issue itself, not so much how he handled it, but the actual issue of, how did you flip-flop on an issue like this so rapidly? And so, there is, I'll put it this way, there's a lot of tension coming from the northeast of Fresno aimed at the mayor.
Well, there's a lot. Well, the mayor Dyer will find out that there's a lot of people all over Fresno that are very upset with Governor Newsom.
Oh, yeah.
And if he is recalled, that'll show that. We've seen right here. We know that Mayor Dyer, when he ran as a Republican, I have to say that I kind of feel Mayor Jerry Lee Brand Jans Dyer administration. What's the difference, right? Has he made one, would you say, conservative Republican stood on that ground?
In the prototype, I've yet to see it. I think there's a lot of things that people are happy about, but they're not principled conservative things. Cleaning up freeways and moving the homeless into housing, those are great, goals to aspire to and operations to have. But are they principally Republican or principally conservative?
Well, cleaning up trash in the Republican
much,
or Democrat
pretty,
thing,
much
right?
It's universal. These are universals. They're very open-ended.
Alex, politics. Yeah. Mayor Dyer, obviously, with this whole One Fresno concept,
right.
We understood that at the start. We can't come up with one conservative Republican ground he has stood on. He has upset the base. As a political advisor and consultant about the base, so yeah. I guess he's rolling the dice that he's going to make everybody that voted for Jans happy to vote for him next time?
I assume that's kind of the calculation as far as I can see it, is that his thing is, I'm just going to approach greater numbers by diversifying my viewpoint.
And forgetting that he ran as a Republican conservative and actually had people going, good, Jerry Dyer's in there. Yeah. That's a good thing. And everybody that said that to me now is being like, what is going on?
It surprised a lot of people.
Let me read here. San Joaquin Valley Sun, Councilman Bredefeld said, Mayor Dyer instead welcomed Newsom today and expressed his support for AB 33 that Alex was talking about that funds health care for illegals. Bredefeld said, while many Americans struggle to pay for their health care, Newsom's released 90,000 inmates, supports open borders, creates California as a sanctuary state. In his current city budget, Dyer supported $300,000 for a defense fund for people here illegally. Newsom should be recalled, and his misuse of taxpayer money and destructive policies must end. So should Mayor Dyer's support of them. I thought he was going to call for a recall there at the end.
Yeah.
Here's what Dyer said with Newsom.
Everyone is entitled to be healthy, and I really honestly believe that.
All right. Translation to my Republican ears. Illegals are entitled to our money to pay for their health care. And there's now a small group. I think it's 27 to like 47 or 50 that's not covered if you're here illegally.
You're correct, yeah.
So they're just whittling that down, as we've seen. Well, we know right now what's going to be coming to an end is the tenant protection. You and I have been talking about that. You've been writing about that since the very start. And Alex, I guess that keeps getting bumped. And what? Explain the tenant protection real quick.
So for, at the beginning of the coronavirus pandemic, the federal government, the state government issued eviction moratoriums. You were not able to kick out a tenant, if you were a landlord, from their rental property if they failed to pay their rent. So people could theoretically live on properties indefinitely as long as the moratorium was in effect, and you could not legally evict them for a non-payment of rent. And this actually came up a lot down in Riverside County. There was an infamous story of a family who bought a home. There was a tenant living inside of it, and the family was unable to evict the tenant in the home they just bought and they were planning on moving into. Of course, in that case, actually, they were able to eventually evict the man, but he used the tenant eviction moratorium to ruthless effectiveness, where he lived in the house and was squatting in the house for about 6 months before eventually getting kicked out by the sheriff. In the case of most of California, including Fresno County and the rest of the Central Valley, this moratorium still is in effect. State of California's eviction moratorium runs through September 30th. So during the budget negotiations last month, the governor and the legislature agreed to extend it from June 30th to September 30th. And that was really helpful for him, because the last thing you need is, you know, hundreds of thousands of Californians evicted from their properties right before a recall election. And so they extended it to June 30th. I think there's a overwhelming consensus in the view in the Capitol, based on my conversations with insiders up there, that it's likely going to continue to the end of the year. I just don't see the legislature, as liberal as it is, and the governor, assuming the worst in the recall, that he's still the governor and Newsom's still around. I just don't see where, based on all the conversations I've had with Sacramento folks, that this doesn't get extended to the end of the year. Because right now we're seeing, you know, a drumbeat about this Delta variant. We're seeing a drumbeat about increasing masking, and that's bringing us to a whole new element of the, quote, you know, the pandemic.
Well, this eviction protection program, city council members, Maxwell, was saying it's going to be a game changer. $750,000. He said, if we're able to keep one person from becoming homeless, this program has been a victory. $750,000 for one person is a victory. And you wonder why we spent $22 trillion since the 1960s on poverty.
Yeah.
And it has not worked.
Yeah.
Alex, we've shared in the past, you don't mind sharing here, you have been vaccinated.
I have, yeah.
Do you have jab remorse now that all the restrictions are going to be coming upon you?
You know, I don't. I'll be honest. And I think there's a lot of people who don't. And there's people who probably do right now with all the, you know, kind of reversion back to, you know, like April, where it was, you know, we're kind of on the fence. We're not quite reopened. There's a lot of folks who are seeing the we're not calling them mandates. Don't forget, these are not mask mandates. The Biden administration is recommending, the Newsom administration is recommending, the Fresno County Public Health Department is recommending, or the, you know, whatever county
health every
department.
Mandate came with a recommendation before,
sure,
it, right?
Before, but now they're saying, oh, we're not mandating it. It's not a mandate. It's just a recommendation. You know, don't confuse the two. What we're seeing is a slow mission creep back into mandates.
Like that word, mission creep.
Mission creep. That's what we've seen with COVID to start with. It's been a long mission creep.
Let me ask you your reasoning. You're 29. Did you turn 30 yet?
Not yet. No.
All right, good. You're in your last favorite final year, 29. Yep. Your rate of survival, 99.9931. Will you go along with all of this now? You've been vaccinated.
I'll be honest, not really. I know, and I think that's the biggest thing is the rationale, the argument that was presented, and it's something I tweeted out earlier from, of all people, Senator Marco Rubio. The rationale that was given to vaccinated Americans before they got vaccinated was, look, get vaccinated. You know, you have a baseline immunity. It's not perfect, and we all admit that. There's no vaccine that's 100% success rate. That's kind of the default that I always have to condition things with, that I've never had a vaccine that's been perfect. Flu shots are not going to cover you for everything with the flu.
We never had one that killed over 11,000.
Well,
I mean, from 2000 to 2020, it was only 1,000 vaccination deaths. In 7 months now, we have, well, gone from 1,000 to 11. And we stopped the swine flu vaccine with 57 deaths.
Yeah.
We've changed. The whole mentality
this
has changed. And we're looking at these survival rates. You've been vaccinated. You're 29 years old. You can run a half mile.
That's a
quarter mile more than I can run.
Yeah, and that's the thing is there are a number of built-in immunity factors that I don't have to worry about, but including the vaccination. My thing is the argument that, you know, we have to revert back to you know, pre-May 15th or whatever, whenever we reopen the state of California, that's crazy. I think everyone would, I think most people rationally are going to look at this and say, well, what was the, you know, you made this argument to vaccinate. And now here's the problem. They're saying, okay, we got to go back to masking up and we got to get more people vaccinated. The state of California, for example, 75% of the state of California has at least one shot. 75%. At what point do you argue, do you get to the point where we've hit herd immunity under vaccinations alone?
And that's I'm sorry, I've never heard that. What is that word?
Herd immunity?
I think I heard that about 10 months ago.
Yeah.
Newsom mumbled it, kind
of. Yeah, he very
mumbled vaccine or herd immunity.
Yeah, and the problem is if you've got 75% vaccination, at what point have we reached herd immunity where really, if this is truly a pandemic of the unvaccinated, which is what they've kind of, the media has sort of castigated it as, for someone like me who has, you know, who has been vaccinated, or someone who has, you know, immunity via antibodies because they've had COVID before, at a certain point, we've got to move on.
At a certain point, we got to say over 85 survival rate from the CDC is 98.2499.
That's the thing. That's the craziness.
It is. Alex Tabley and San Joaquin Valley Sun. We'll be back. We're going to talk a little more recall.
This is shaping up to be potentially a perfect storm against Gavin Newsom because, as you mentioned, Republicans only a quarter of the state's voters. Democrats are almost 50%. But Republicans are way more energized to turn out and vote to recall the governor.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. You're listening to the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
In studio guest, he's the executive CEO, executive director of the San Joaquin Valley Sun, Alex Tavlian. Alex, thanks for your time, man.
Thank you. And I'll take any executive you want to give me, so that's fine.
Executive director, CEO, president, Grand Poobah. Mm-hmm. Your team has built a little bit over these 2 years. Yeah. I want you to mention some of your good writers.
Yeah, we've got a whole team based out in the South Valley, but the star of the show, honest to goodness,
is you? Is
that No, it's not me. Okay. No. It's never me. It's my colleague, Daniel Gligich, who is the utility man for us. I mean, I have put him on so many crazy stories in the last 2 years. And, you know, he's my right-hand guy, and he's done a great job covering a lot of these stories. A lot of times I come on air, I'm talking about his stories. So I'm not talking about my own. And he is truly the glue here. So I'm really grateful to him. We've got a growing crew of reporters around the valley and around the state that are going to be contributing coming soon.
Are you saying the close-up is of your face, and then you see him jump out of the helicopter, and then you come up out of the water with your face at it? He's the stunt man. He does a lot of that.
I wish that were, yeah, that probably is the best example, best analogy of what goes on.
Well, yeah, he is a great writer, and thanks for all you guys are doing here in the Valley. When this recall first started, I was talking to Mr. Faulkner yesterday about the one that started, was it like 2 years ago? It fizzled,
away. We've had one since he got in office. I mean, there's been one rolling.
And then I was like, I don't know if this one's going to get traction, and it did get traction.
Yeah.
And the only way it got traction was in California. That had to be upset Democrats as well.
Oh yeah, and I think, to be honest with you, and I think there's an easy point to, you know, there's an easy moment in time that you can point to, and it was the French Laundry. I mean, like it there's no way to hide that. The moment that Newsom is shutting everything down, no one can go anywhere. You're scared to death by every press conference he does, where he goes out and says nothing, but makes it sound like he's saying something. And then he is spotted at the French Laundry eating with lobbyists indoors, no mask. It's like, though, could you imagine? It's like seeing your girlfriend cheating on you in front of your eyes.
Yeah.
That's basically what it felt like.
And it's the snapshot that's in everybody's head that cannot be forgotten. And that happens in politics sometimes.
Yeah.
Remember Howard Dean?
Oh, good old Howard Dean. That's
good old Howard Dean. Rundy, man, he was gone. He was done, right?
He was done right there. Yeah,
that very moment. I think back. John Edwards having cheating on his wife who had cancer, right?
Yep.
Yeah, those kind of things can get you. French Laundry, that was it. 2.0, we've seen it. And he's been going around now trying to blame the recall on the right-wing talking points. Those that are on the right side of the aisle, we got something good. I said this yesterday. John Cox is a businessman. He beat Villaraigosa. He ran against Newsom. Elder's a great communicator, knows politics. Kylie's been working every day up there.
Oh, yeah.
In Sacramento. Faulkner ran San Diego. I don't agree with his pro-life and pro-choice views, and we talked about that yesterday. Doug Ose was in Congress. He's running. I haven't heard much from him lately, but there's something good about everybody. Is there anybody that you're feeling, or are you at that point yet?
No, we don't make endorsements, and the reason why, we're a nonprofit news organization, so by law, we're not allowed to do it. So I always tell people
That's an easy way out, isn't it?
I'll give you that. But in fairness, we wouldn't do it anyways, and the reason why is at the end of the rainbow here, and this is the line that a lot of recall backers have put out is, listen, it doesn't matter how many candidates are in the field. The more, to be honest with them, they're big fans of the more the better. And the reason why is because it drives the yes vote on the first question.
Right, right. You want more out there. And
everybody in this race right now, even the Doug Ose, Caitlyn Jenner, they bring someone to the table. And that's
that would vote
yes.
Yes, on the recall, right.
And so it's key for the recall to succeed.
And all that tax rules cut out a lot of those people that it would have been. Alex Hadley, and where can they get all this information? 3 a.m. in their inbox.
Yeah, sir. Get the best newsletter in the Central Valley, sjvsun.com/signup, and get Sunrise AM in your inbox every weekday morning at 6:30.
Thank you, sir. Alex Hadley, and ladies and gentlemen, we got the virus of mass destruction. For $1 million, how do you keep a pandemic going? Let me see. Mask up the population and use words like deadly and surge and classrooms aren't ventilated. We'll talk next.
Hollywood is under siege from an external force. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream is now making nightmares a reality. Many major films appease the Chinese Communist Party to be distributed in China. Join Tiffany Meyer, an investigative reporter in Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, where she reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.